De Heer is goed. Amen. Now I'm a good church member here. When you see your pastor is not wearing shoes, you do likewise. So I've taken out my shoes. And from next week, I'll grow my beard. And I'll laugh in Afrikaans. Amen. So you must, you know, imitate your pastor. Eh? Praise God. Wow. My laptop, this is American way, I think. thank God that this is my second time, is it? And thank God to be here, to be with you guys. Praise God. What an awesome time of worship. Man, did you enjoy it? No, I didn't enjoy it, but I was blessed. If you enjoy it, the enjoyment finishes outside, but the blessing stays. Yeah, those who are blessed, it stays. But when you enjoy it, it doesn't stay long. Are we together? Yeah, you must be blessed all the time. I want to thank God for the two ladies here. I don't think they need to go to the gym. Wow. They practice with the Lord, they exercise with the Lord. And the angels join these two ladies. Eh? Heaven without these two ladies would be boring. Eh? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I just want to, how many are our new visitors here? How many are our new visitors who came first time? Oh, the one who lived. The one on the aisles, please, the hand still, come and have this book. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you as you read that story of this bad boy. Saved by the grace of God. Amen. I've got two more books, but these are for sale. Praise God. Only one left. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here, and I wanted us to worship the Lord more and more, because that really takes us to the throne of grace. I was touched by my granddaughter, and it was through her question that transformed my life completely. And it was through her question also that led her to Jesus. Because as we did Bible study every evening with our family, she asked us a question. She said, "Grandpa, tell me, angels sing one song for trillion and trillion of years. Only one song." I said, "What is that song?" "They sing holy, holy, holy all the time. Don't they get bored?" Wow. So I wanted to answer her, you know, like to brush her aside. But I was convicted that you must tell your child the truth. So I didn't know what to say. So I said to her, "Okay, before I answer you, let me go and pray about it." So I went to my office down in town in Malawi then, and I went to pray for almost 3 days. Fasting and praying. And I said, "God, I really don't have an answer for this little one. I don't want to give a professional answer, but an answer from you that will touch her and bless her. But not knowing that God was going to use that question to touch me, to change my life, to change the way I preach, to change the way I look at people, to change the way I walk, and to change what this topic you have here, kingdom living. You cannot have the kingdom living unless you see, like Isaiah, the glory of God. Amen. Isaiah was preaching all the time, woe to you, woe to you, woe unto you. But when he saw the glory of God, his preaching changed. Woe to me. Are we together? Woe unto me. Every time he was saying woe to others. But when you see the glory of God and his majesty, all your talk, your living changes. Amen. Hey, you are looking at me as if I'm ugly, eh? Ma. Wow. At least a smile helps. Praise the Lord. that changed my whole life. And I thank God that when God transformed me through that message, I went to my office. First day, I was really crying, battling how to answer this little girl. And then the third day, I saw, like in a dream or a vision, I can't tell. But I had this revelation of heaven. And seeing angels singing the same song, holy, holy, holy. But what amazed me was the more I watched, I'm asking myself the same question of the girl, why don't they stop? But I was amazed as they went around God, that these angels, they saw this side of God, they saw the glory they've never seen before. But they've been there trillion of years. But each time they come this other side of God, they see the glory they've never seen before. And God has never used one color twice. Are we together? Can you comprehend that? God, we have used the red, we have used the white, we have used the black, we have used the pink, we have used the same colors over and over. But God has never used one color twice. That makes him God. Amen. Are you with me? He has never used one color twice. So I went to my daughter and I put something on the table. So I was showing her what I had seen. And meanwhile, as I'm doing that, this little girl is crying, is in tears. And she says, Dad, I want to accept Jesus. It was glorious to lead this little girl to Christ. Now, she's working in Cape Town here. And she loves the Lord. She loves the Lord through her own question. Amen. So this morning, I want to preach on, because I'm an African, God invested all the time to Africans, as you know. You white people have got watches, but no time. But now I'm an African. Are you ready to be with me? Some have already insulting me or condemning me. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This morning I want to talk about the theme, His Presence is Heaven to Me. And I'll ask my sister to sing us this song at the end. His presence is already heaven to me. The name Emmanuel, that means God with us. God with us. And when God is with you, that means heaven is with you. heaven is with you. If God is in your family, heaven is in your family. If God is in your business, that means God is in your business. So where Jesus is, feel like you are already in heaven. The Muslims, they attach everything to their religion. You talk about business is attached to their religion. Marriage, children, everything is attached to their religion. They don't separate that. But unfortunately, we Christians, we separate. That's why this theme the church is going through, kingdom living, is everything has to be attached to what you believe in. Amen. You can't have your business and control it without Jesus. You can't have your marriage and control it without Jesus. So kingdom lifestyle is everything put in one package, as our brother said. Everything in one package and control the kingdom lifestyle. That's why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But when you miss the little word for, you have missed the whole message of Jesus. Why do you repent? Why do you repent? Yeah, you have to know this little word for. When I preached at Pentagon, I preached on the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. After I preached, many top generals of the army came forward to accept Jesus. From a black man who was too black. Oh my, the only thing they could see were my teeth. I was smiling too much. Praise his name. And I'm not shy to be black. I'm not even regret that I'm black. I love who I am. Because God, when he created me, was smiling. Amen. He never smiled at you, but he smiled at me. Oh, God is good, eh? So, love who you are. Whether you're black or pink or whatever, love who you are. Amen. So, his presence is heaven to me. I want to go through. Can I move this? This is holy. Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, all of us, please. Or on the screen, Luke chapter 2. We want to read together for us to understand the scriptures. From verse 41. From verse 41. Every year, I'm reading from the NIV translation. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, for they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. They were what? Astonished, amazed, overwhelmed. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously, we had anxiety, worried to death, anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me?" He asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I have to do my father's business. I was in my father's business." Amen. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And I pray that each one of us this morning will understand what Jesus is saying to us. Amen. Your amen is boring. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and, listen, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is so precious. Just reading through it, we are blessed. Thank you, Father, that you are going to speak to us, touch us, that when we leave those doors, we will never be the same. God bless this church. Bless the leaders. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. I want to repeat my testimony. You heard my testimony last first time I came here. But for the new visitors, I was born in Zimbabwe from a Malawian father, Zambian mother, and dumped at the age of 4. So I lived under a bridge from the age of 4. I've never been in school. I wish I had gone to school like many other kids, but I didn't have the privilege of going to school. And now you wonder, I know in your mind you are asking questions, how come you speak in English? If you have never seen a miracle before, here is one. That's what God can do. Takes the nobody and makes you a somebody. And that's where I'm coming from. And I became a gang leader at the age of about 9, 10. Started taking drugs at that age. And I had my 2 guns when I was only 11, 12. And first time stabbing someone with a knife, I was only 12. And that became a series of shootings and killings and so on. Every person was like a shadow to me. And if you came with a Bible, you'd get a bullet. If you talked about Jesus, you'd get a bullet. I didn't like this name Jesus because he was a white man. There was no way I could believe in a white man's God because I'd been oppressed. A white man called me a baboon, called me a kafir. And so there was no way I would believe in his God. I hated white people. I hated God. I hated the Bible. I hated church. All these things were for me a target to blow up. And at the age of 15, I joined Robert Mugabe as a freedom fighter. And we fought even with the president, present president Mnangagwa. We were together in the bush. And so for 5 years, the only song I sang is, "There's no God. Kill the white man." The only time you kill the white man, you greet the white man, you kill him first, then greet him later. Because if you talk to a talking white man, he will make you a slave. So the best way to eliminate all what the white man did was to kill him first, then greet him later. You are very safe this morning, don't worry. Very, very safe. You know, when white people are afraid, they become red, red. So I was seeing red colors. Praise the Lord. We black people, we become pitch black. But God is so good. As a freedom fighter with my gang about to blow up a bank in Harare, taking our explosives, we saw a big tent by the roadside. And we didn't go to listen to the word of God. We went there to kill everyone who was in that big tent. Number one, because it was from South Africa. Nothing good came from South Africa because of the apartheid system. And then we said, well, they are preaching about Jesus, a white man. So kill everyone. If you see your mother inside, she must die. If you see your sister, must die. But we went into the tent to make the story short. We went there and sat on the last bench. And when we sat there, 20 boys with our AK-47, I had my two revolvers. And God uses a pretty girl to share her testimony. Man, that girl was gorgeous. Ooh, she was really gorgeous. And she confused me. She put me off balance because she was pretty. No, pretty girls, you must use your beauty for Jesus. Amen. Use that beauty for Jesus, not for the world, not for sex outside marriage. Are we together? And so it was glorious. As she shared her testimony, then a preacher came, and this man preached the gospel in tears. I've never seen a preacher preaching like that. He was crying all the time. He read the scriptures. He preached the gospel. He was in tears, but one thing I didn't like about him was his finger. Every time he pointed the finger, like he was pointing at me, as if I was the only sinner there. I didn't like if he pointed this way, his finger would bend towards me. And he would point the way, his finger would bend towards me. So I took out my knife to kill my friend, thinking he had gone to tell the preacher about my sins. But every time that finger made me restless. So the next thing he would do like this, I would duck down behind someone's back. And little did I know that you can never hide from the finger of God. How many Sundays you have been coming here every Sunday, when the man of God is preaching, you think he was preaching about you. Yes. The finger of God was pointing into your life, but you resisted up to now. And I pray all the messages you have been listening in this church, you will make that willing commitment to Jesus Christ. How many times God has been speaking to you through every message preached in this church, but up to now you have never surrendered to God. And so that night, with my AK-47, I stood from the back with no appeal. I didn't wait for the preacher to say, "Those who want Jesus, put up your hands," or what. No, while he was still preaching, I picked up my AK-47, came forward, knelt at his feet. His trousers were soaked wet with my tears, broken before God. And the Lord spoke to me that night. And I surrendered my life to Jesus. Man, what a glorious moment it was. 7 o'clock, a murderer, a drug addict. 8 o'clock, born again into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And from that moment, I was surprised with myself. What is happening to me? You know, when Jesus comes to your life, it's a wow business. Even to myself, I say, wow. People who saw me, they say, wow. Man, when you come to Christ, when you dedicate your life to Jesus, it's wow. Ooh. If you have never said wow to yourself, you can do it today. It's a wow business. It's an exciting business. It's not a boring. It's not a donkey-faced Christian. Have you ever seen a donkey? Miserable face. Man, we must be like a teapot Christian. You know, the mouth of the teapot is over there. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Rejoice. Man, I like these two ladies. Man, heaven without them would be boring indeed. Rejoice. Even if you are I'm an introvert. But when it comes to kingdom business, I'm different. I'm an introvert person. But when it comes to Jesus, I love him so much. The one who has been forgiven too much loves much. Amen. That's why I don't, you know, I can talk about Jesus for hours. I don't get tired. You know, I'm 76 years old now. But I look like a young man of 20. And I was saved when I was 20. I'm still 20. I'll die 20. I'm sorry for you are getting old. Praise the Lord. Ooh, this is exciting, eh? Yeah, so when the Lord saved me that time, changed my life and so on, then God, I said, God, but I'm not educated. I don't know how to read and write. God says, I'll give you a wife. 8 years later, because I was afraid to get married, I had seen my father bashing my mother every day. There was no day I didn't see blood in the nose of my mother. That's why I was afraid to marry. I didn't want to marry and have the spirit of my father in me to inherit his spirit to torture my wife. So that's why I prayed for 8 years for God to separate me from the generation of my father and to start a new generation. And that's what Jesus did. That's why I like this title, Kingdom Living. Amen. Kingdom living, praise God. It was through my wife, this gracious woman, started teaching me how to read, how to write. So I'm speaking in English because of this great woman. Amen. A graduate marrying a person who never went to school. She didn't marry me because I had a Mercedes Benz, a good account. No, she married even when I was proposing love to her. I was struggling to speak English. She looked at me. This guy who can't speak English, I proposed love. I could hardly, the verb was going this way, the noun was going this, the adjective, everything was mixed up. And yet she still says, yes, I love you. Then when she says, yes, I love you, I didn't know what to say next. So I said, can we pray? And I prayed the longest prayer you have ever heard. Because I was thinking, if I say amen, she looks in my eyes. What do I say again? I was terrified with her eyes. But she still said, yes. I don't care whether you didn't have education, but I love you. Wow. And then she started teaching me. The first 2 years, I was the biggest problem because she came from a well-disciplined family and I came from the bridge. So the bridge and the discipline was two worlds and I caused the problems in the family. But you know what? She was patient with me. Very patient. Some of you could have packed up your suitcases to going back to your parents. But she stood with me, she understood me, and she helped me to write. She helped me to speak in English. So today I speak 10 languages. Wow. And yeah, the same English I've preached around the world. I've preached in Parliament in Australia. I've preached in Britain to the 10 Downing Street with John Major. And preached at Pentagon, preached at White House, the same English of this great woman. Amen. This is what God did to me. But you know, it all begins from there, where God started with this little girl. Are we still together? Okay. Now, Luke chapter 2, the Bible is full of incidences that have taught me great lessons in my life. These incidences have helped me to shape my life to be who I am today. There are stories of some Bible characters who started well. They started well, but they ended badly. My brother, starting is easy, but the ending, that's what is important. The ending matters most. Many people start well, but they finish badly. Are we together? Am I communicating? Yeah, I'm not speaking any. Okay. Yeah. We start well, but we end badly. These Bible stories were recorded to teach us and warn us. They were not just stories in the Bible, but to teach us and warn us. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, this story is teaching us to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I was in the church in our BMW this morning with my brother and sister. It was a wonderful church, three people. And he was sharing us at his testimony how God spoke to him, how God convicted him, how God told him who the pastor was going to pray for him. And all what God spoke to him happened. He is what he is today because he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And later, when you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, later, God gave him a bonus of a wonderful wife. She's gorgeous. Isn't she? Praise the Lord. So, do not grieve. So, this story is helping us about Jesus to, you know, going from Jerusalem, from the feast, is that the book of Ephesians goes on to say, get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness blocks the voice of the Spirit. Are we together? Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. One of the areas that grieve the Holy Spirit is to be in the wrong place where God does not want you to be. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. To be in a place where God didn't tell you to be. Like Adam and Eve. When they sinned, God was crying, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" They were not on the spot where they used to meet with God. They were on the wrong place. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you are on the wrong place. And I like all the traffic signs. They stop. God, when he says stop, stop. When he says no parking, don't park in the beer hall. Don't park your life on the wrong place. All these road signs, no stopping, don't stop. All these, take all these road signs. They are also from the Bible. Are we together? Don't overlook all these road signs. They also are spiritual because every law in South Africa came from the Bible. Not from the Quran, but from the Bible. When God says no parking, he means that. Don't park your life on the wrong place. And so he's saying, get rid of this. You remember the story of Adam and Eve was in the wrong place. Cain. The Bible says in Genesis 4 verse 16. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence. Man, how do you get protection when you walk out from the Lord's presence? How can you have blessings and healing and the Spirit of God to speak to you if you walk away from God's presence? That's why I was saying heaven is like what? I mean, his presence is like heaven to me. When you miss God, you miss his presence. Oh man, I wish I could go on and on. Praise the Lord. There are mothers here who are here. Mothers, I love these ladies with my children. And the babies, some are so tiny. And you know, I had five biological children. Five. So I'm speaking from experience. Very vast experience. And also we had 12, 13 adopted children. So each time when a child was crying, a baby at 1 day old, I would be snoring, but my wife would wake up immediately the child was turning. God has given a certain instinct to a woman. She can hear even a child when he's turning around. And she goes to breastfeed. And this man who was snoring professionally the whole night comes in the morning, and the wife says, the baby woke up 3 times and I didn't hear it. But my wife heard it, breastfed the child. But me, I was snoring. Now, look, let's look at this story. After the feast, Joseph and Mary, they are returning to their home. The whole day's journey, can you remember? 6 to 6. A mother should have known my child is not here. But they walked the whole day without realizing the child is not with them. Let's think, a mother, even 1 hour missing a child, she's desperate. Am I right, ladies? Already the mother is desperate. Where is my child? But they walked the whole day. The whole day. What shocks me in this scripture, there are 2 words that shocks me. And I'm shocked with these words. Let's read them together again. Do you have your Bibles? Or you have shut them already? These are the words that shocked me. 2 phrases. But they were unaware of it. Can you imagine? They are walking the whole day, but they are not aware of it. Number 2. Listen to what the Bible says. Thinking he was in their company. Whole day they are walking. And in their walking, they are not aware the child is not with them. Number 2, they were thinking. Not they knew. No, they were thinking that the child is not in their company. And that's what we do. Joseph and Mary wanted Jesus. this 12-year-old boy to adapt to their program, not them to adapt to his program. So what they did, they went ahead of Jesus. And so many of us, we go ahead of Jesus thinking he is in our company. And you are not aware he's not there. You go ahead with your programs. You want Jesus to adapt to your program, to your business, to your workplace. No. You have to adapt to Jesus' program. So often we go ahead with our anxiety. Anxiety is to go ahead of God. You are worried about tomorrow, but why worry about tomorrow? Because you are going ahead of God. When you are worried about your finances of tomorrow, worried about your children, worried about that and that, you are going ahead of God. Now, when you go ahead of God, you start doing your own planning, not with God, but with yourself. In your business, when you plan without God, you are planning with yourself. So you do things about yourself. You go ahead of God, not aware that he's not there. It's possible. Born again, but not aware that the Spirit of God is silent in your life. What a pathetic thing when the Spirit of God is silent in your life. He's not speaking to you. He's not whispering to you. And you can sing, you can dance, you can do that. But you are not aware that the Lord is not with you. You see, you hear Jacob. After Jacob slept at that ladder, you remember that ladder, eh? He had that ladder. And he finally said, "Oh, I was not aware that God is here." He was not aware. Two guys walk to Emmaus with Jesus, but they are not aware that he's Jesus. That's what we do in our lives. You can walk with him, but not aware that he's not in your company. He's not blessing you until he opens your eyes. When he opens your eyes, he says, "Wow. I want this morning to say, wow. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen my point of failure. I've seen where I've gone ahead of God." When you go ahead of God, you leave Jesus behind. When you leave Jesus behind, you always think he is in your company. What a sad thing. So often why we don't get all these blessings from God is because we have left him behind. We have gone too far. Sometimes we have become like Zacchaeus. We have climbed up the tree while Jesus is down. When he came on the spot, it was Jesus who recognized Zacchaeus first. He said, "Hey, Zach, come down. I came from heaven to meet with you here on the level ground. But I came down, you go up." That's what we do. And we want to see Jesus on his head. We climb up. Hey, Jesus says, "Come down." And that's what you need to do. Humble yourself. Come down and say, "God, I've been going up. I've been running ahead." That's what Zacchaeus did. He ran ahead and says, "Come down. I want to meet you with you on the level ground where I came on the dust. I want to meet you on the dust." Saul was on the horse. He could not speak to him on the horse. He had to go down on the ground. That's when God speaks. He doesn't speak to us in the upstairs. He speaks to you on the dust, down on the level. Amen. Am I boring you? Say amen if I'm boring. Now, no one said, so I'm better, Pastor. I'm doing, hallelujah. So, this message I'm preaching today is one day I was struggling and, you know, complaining until one day I went to the mountain to pray. I said, God, I've been running ahead of you, but God, help me to repent. And that day I remember surrendering my life to Jesus. It was after the Lord spoke to me to go and speak to a top business man in Masingo in Zimbabwe. He says, go and speak to that man. I said, yes, Lord, I'm going, but let me go and pray first. So I took my Bible to one of the hills in Masingo to go and pray. And I was praying to go and speak to this. All my prayer. Listen to this. All my prayer and my reading of the Bible was sinful. My prayer at the mountain, my reading of the Bible was sinful. Because God didn't say go and pray. He already spoke to me. Go and speak to the businessman. So, but now I turn and say, oh God, yeah, you have told me to go there, but I go this way to pray. What are you saying to God? If your dad says, go to the bank, he means the bank. He's not saying, go to church and see your pastor first. No. He said, I'm going to pray with my pastor about the bank. No. He says, go to the bank. Are we together? Go to the bank. Don't go to church to pray. All going to church will be disobedience. Will be sinful. So I went to the mountain. Then after I was coming to the mountain now, I had prayed and I'm going down there to speak to the businessman. And I meet one guy. So do you know the sad story in this community? I said, what? So the businessman has died. I said, what? He said he was driving with his windows open. You know, bees were passing, crossing the road, and they went in his car. He was battling with the bees and hit the tree and died on the spot. I missed the opportunity. I missed the opportunity because I was busy to go and read my Bible and pray while God was knew the time was running out on this man. I could have saved his life. But I didn't go. So often we run ahead of God. Are we together? Yeah. Now, I'm about to close, don't worry. Look at Moses. Exodus 33. Verse 2 to 4, if you can put that on the screen, that's where now we go. Am I with you, brother? Praise the Lord. Oh, you sing so well. I wish I could sing like these guys. The only problem is I sing well inside, but when it comes here, I'm like a frog. verse 2. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, and so on. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. God says, go up to the land that is flowing with milk and what? And honey. But this is a very good sentence. God says, I will send you what? I will send you what? Amen. Are we together? What is he promising? An angel. If there were modern preachers, even Christians here, they would have been jumping here forward. I want to speak, brethren. God has promised me an angel that I must go to Pietermaritzburg or to Devon to preach. Hallelujah. Oh, Shandakara, Sondo Bakara, speaking tongues. But more, God says, but that bad spoils everything. Are we together? That but, my brother, if you tell your beautiful wife, you are beautiful, you are gorgeous, but. But what, dear? Please tell me. But what? That but spoils the whole compliment. God says, I will send you an angel, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. Otherwise, I might destroy you on the way. God is promising an angel, but Moses says, God, I don't want an angel. Are we together? Moses refused. Let's go to Exodus 33, the same chapter, verse 12. Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. A minute ago, God says, I'll give you an angel. The same Moses says, you have not let me know. How do you see that? The same Moses refused the angel. God let him know that I will give you the angel. But Moses says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. Ooh. When God knows me by name, Stephen, he doesn't even mention, Lungu is not there. He knows me by name, not with your surname. He knows you by name. Because in the Bible, there were no surnames. He was John, the son of Peter. You understand? There were no surnames in those days. So, here he says, I know you by name. You have found favor with me. When you find favor with God, man, you are wonderful. Because the Bible says when who wants to find their wife finds what is what? Good. But it doesn't stop there. It is a promise. When you find a wife, you find a favor. All favors are in your wife. Amen. Hey, men. Hey, men. Men, listen. When you find your wife, you find what is what? Good. And obtains what? Favor. You obtain favor because of the wife. But you mistreat your wife, you are in trouble. Serious trouble. I'm telling you, your business, everything, your lifestyle, you are in trouble. All those who tamper with their wife, you are in trouble. If you want God to favor you, just keep this woman smiling, happy, bumpy with love. I love you too much. Hallelujah. Because women, they love to hear that word. It's a magic word. I love you. Thank you, honey. I love you too. Hallelujah. It's a magic word. If you give her 20%, she'll give you back 20%. God never gave love to women. Never. Don't tell yourself, my wife doesn't love you. You must be the biggest fool. God gave love to men to give it to their wives. When you say, I love Jesus, it's not your love. While we were yet sinners, God loved us. So what God did, he took his love in us and poured that love in us. So when I express, I love you, Jesus, it's not my love, it is his. Are we together? It is his love. It's being expressed by the Holy Spirit in me. Am I preaching strange doctrine? Oh, okay. I'm afraid Shofar can kick me out. Yeah, so is the wife. Wife, God gave you to us men. He says, husbands, love your wife. There's no verse, women, love your husband. No. Love your wife. So when you say, honey, I love you, give her 100% or 120. When you give her 120, she gives back 120. If you give two, she gives back two. What you sow is what she gives back. Are we together, husband? Hey, they didn't say big amen. No, amen. My brother, did you say amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now listen what Moses is saying. You have found favor in me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Now, if you want God to do something in your life, ask him to teach you his ways. So that, listen to this. This is what, so that I may know you. Not that I may think you are in our midst. No. That you are in his company. No. But so that I may know you. And I was praying, God, please, I don't want this wish-wash Christianity, all this, what is happening with the preachers now around the world. If there was a person who needed more titles, could have been me. Harvard University wanted to give me a PhD, honored degree. I said, no. Johannesburg University 2 years ago wanted to honor me with PhD. I said, no. Kenya University wanted to give me a PhD. I said, no. I want to be just Stephen Lungu. Because if I have all these degrees, I will change even my greetings to you. And I will want to know, you know, I'm Dr. Stephen Lungu, you know. Even greet you with my fingers, you know. The PhD, they don't greet the whole hand, no. They touch your finger. How are you, my son? And also, I will have bodyguards. I would have been having four bodyguards around me. For what? As if angels don't protect me. As if angels have failed to protect me. You see, preachers now, they've gone crazy about titles. Crazy about all these bodyguards. For what? I was in Switzerland to go and preach, taking the place of Nicky Cruz. Because Nicky Cruz had become very expensive. Per day he was demanding $10,000 as an honorarium. For 7 days, $10,000 each day. And his wife, they demanded $6,000. Who didn't preach? Who didn't say anything? Escorting her husband, they needed that $6,000. So $16,000 per day. So they invited me to go and preach. At the airport, there was these three big limousines with motorbikes on police mode escort in front. So they put me in this limousine, and my wife and I, we were laughing our tears. This is ridiculous. A bridge boy, a boy from the bridge, is this what they're doing for me? When we go to the hall where I had to have interviews with journalists, almost 45 journalists, television, live. And after the interview, they take us to the hotel. This was a 5-star hotel. And I had given four bodyguards. And my wife, she had two bodyguards, women bodyguards. She went to the toilet. These girls followed. I said, So second day I said, hey guys, it's either you send me back to Africa or you take me out from this 5-star hotel. Take me to stay with a pastor, any pastor. And please get rid of these bodyguards. I said, no, I don't want them. So they had to move out from the 5-star to a pastor's home. So my wife and I, and as we traveled, each bus, taxis were my big face of Stephen Lungu, Stephen Lungu. And the stadium was jam-packed. We preached there for 1 week. Souls came to Christ. But I was happy because I didn't have these earthly bodyguards. I had mine from heaven. What a glorious time. At the end, now they said, how much do you charge us for honorarium? I said, zero. I said, what? I said, zero. He said, no, you misunderstood us. We want to give you an honor. I said, no, give it to the orphanage or anywhere people are struggling, not me. I refused it. You know, sometimes we want to get all these because we want to, like, you know, pay. Yeah, when I have the honorariums, I take them back to the ministry. I don't keep it to my own account. And all the honorariums I get, I take them to my ministry in Pietermaritzburg. This is for the ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you still love me? Okay, I'm finishing. Yes. And they said, teach me your ways. Now look at what this verse, remember, is reminding God. Remember that this is your people. These are not my people. This is your people. The Lord replied, because of that answer, he said, my presence will go with you. Hallelujah. When God's presence go with you, that means healing is there, provision is there, fear is not more there. Are we together? There's no more fear when the presence of God is there with you. His healing, his provision is what? Oh, I mean, I wish you came to Pietermaritzburg. I came from Malawi. I retired in 2013. And they called me back to the ministry to South Africa. I came with my wife with only two suitcases. And we had to look for a house. But let me tell you, when his presence is with you, there is provision. So we have a four-bedroomed house. I don't pay for it. He pays. He called me to South Africa. God pays. And I have everything from the fridge, cooker, I mean washing machine, dryer, you name it. The whole house, everything is a gift from God. Now last year, I was called, hey Steve, are you Stephen Lungu? I said, yes. Well, who are you? I'm here in Johannesburg. Go to Toyota McCarthy. Go and choose a car you want. I said, are you joking? He said, no, I've heard you preach. When you preach, you don't joke. So when I give to God, I don't joke. So I went to Toyota McCarthy, stood at this car and standing there admiring one car. So the manager came and says, well, can I help you? I said, yeah, no, someone told me to come here. I said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Ah, you are poor people. He walked away. He walked away. And this man in Joburg rings again. I said, are you there? I said, I'm here. He said, take your phone, give it to the manager. So I went to the manager and said, this man wants to talk to you. So I went back to the car to look at the same car. And the same manager comes back and says, congratulations, Mr. Lungu. Hallelujah. I wanted to rebuke him, but I said, no, let me do that. You told me I was a poor preacher, but my God is rich. In his presence, you have all the provision. I've been to many places, and all what I wear, all my suits, I've never gone to a shop to buy a suit. All what I have, God provided, because in his presence, there's every provision. So you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Don't run ahead of God. If you have done that, you say, God, I want to join Mary and Joseph. What happened? They turned around, went back to Jerusalem to look for the boy when they get to Jerusalem, they saw their son with three things. Number one, they saw the 12-year-old boy sitting. Now, a person who sits, that means peace with God. When you sit, that means you are rested. So they saw him sitting. Number two, he was listening. So many of us, we don't sit to listen. We're too much in a hurry. The watch controls us. We don't want to listen. Even morning we wake up, rush, what we think about business, business, business. But no time with God. Many people have asked, Stephen, you share your testimony every time. Don't you get bored? I said, no. He said, why? I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to have quality time with God. That's where I get freshness in sharing my story. I wake up to read 3-4 chapters every morning to have quality time with God. If I miss that, I miss the whole day. Because I don't want to wake up and run ahead of God. I want to go programmed together in His will. When I'm in His will, I feel satisfied. Amen. And then, wow, what happened when Moses, listen, let me close with this. In Africa, we close many times. I close my Bible and I drink a water. That means I'm closing. Listen what Moses says. I love this. Moses says, if, you know, God says, my presence will go, I'll give you rest when His presence is going with you. Brother, come here. You know, God is going with you. As He's going with you, there is a plus there that as you walk with you in your life, you rest. You understand? As you walk with God in your life, you rest. But some people, even they are walking, their minds are too busy. They are working too hard. But when you are with God, you rest in Jesus. Because His presence is like heaven to you. Amen. I like going in the office, even if I'm going in town, government offices. I said, God, be with me. I want your presence. I don't know how to speak very well to convince these people. But by the time I reach to these government officials, they've already authorized what I want. Amen. I love it. You know, God loves me very much. Praise the Lord. Then he finishes. Then Moses said to him, if, now God has already promised, but he comes with a if. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. But it's so strong to God. God, if you are not going with me, definitely don't send us from here. Make it a point. Young man, if your girlfriend doesn't want to walk with you, don't go with her. Are we together? Young lady, if that man doesn't want to live the kingdom lifestyle, don't go with that man. Are we together? Don't walk with that man. Because, you know, when you walk with him, what you'll do, you'll be above there, you'll be down there. Now, ladies, if I'm up here, if I'm up here, easy to pull me down. But if a girl is up here to take this heavy man up to here, it's tough. You are weak. So don't ever promise, all right, when I marry him, I'll pray hard, I'll fast, I'll bring him to my... No, it won't happen. You'll cry tears. Oh. I'm telling you. So if your presence does go. If this man doesn't want to join me to walk in the presence of God, don't walk with that person. So I prayed for 8 years for a wife, and I thank God she loved me. I didn't have grade one, grade two, matric, nothing, zero English. But she saw something in me. And she said, honey, I'll join. And she joined me. She joined me. Among her sisters, there are three sisters. One was married to a permanent secretary in the government. Number two, a principal. But my wife, a banker, a nice degree. They rejected me 3 times. They say, you can't marry this man. He was a former gang leader. What if he backs us? He'll kill you. But my wife says, no, I want to marry. Tempted second time, they rejected me. Third time, fourth time, they literally took a basin. All the uncles were seven. They washed their hands like Pontius Pilate. Said, whatever happens to you, it's your problem. But the guy they rejected led the whole family to Jesus. The same boy. The whole family to Jesus. And also, the guy they were saying, oh, your sister's married to a permanent teacher, but the guy they were rejecting, I was the first to see, you know, to stay in the posh suburb of Lilongwe among diplomats. And also God took the same girl, bought her a car. She has got her own car where her sisters have never driven. I took this lady around the world. We've been together to the White House. We've been together in Parliament in Australia. We've been together in New Zealand, in Hawaii, around South America. She has traveled around the world. The whole family came to me in tears, crying. We are sorry. We despised you when you came to us. But we can see God is with you. You know, live your life with Jesus in his presence. People will see the glory of God. Maybe you are here. You've been running ahead of God. You say, God, I'm turning around. I'm going back to look for this child I've left behind, thinking he was with me. But I was not aware. He's not in my company. God, I'm not hearing your voice. Please, God, touch me. I want to be aware of your presence. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I've been running ahead of you, God. I need a fresh touch from you. And God is going to do. As my sister is singing, I want to invite you. You say, God, touch me. I need you. I want you to surrender. Go back to Jerusalem. I've been running ahead like Zacchaeus. I've been running ahead. I was not aware that you are not with me. Men who walked to Emmaus Road with Jesus, they were not aware that Jesus was there. They were not aware. But you say, God, maybe it's my spirit. I'm not aware. I want to know. If you really want to confirm it to God, that God, I want to be aware of your presence. I want you to surrender your life this morning. Say, God, I don't want to run ahead with my anxiety, my financial problems, or whatever, children, or whatever. You say, God, I've been running ahead. But today, I want to fit in your program. Not you in my program, but me in your program, in your will. And God is going to do it. Shall we stand? And if you are that person, you say, God, yes, I want to make heaven. I want to make heaven. I want to make your presence heaven to me this morning. Just come forward. You want God to bless you, to touch you. You say, God, please touch my life. Just walk forward simply. We want you, God, to touch your life and to say, God, I want you to minister into my life. Hallelujah.
Who is like you, Lord of all the earth? Matchless love and beauty in this world.
Just come forward quickly, and we are not going to repeat the petition. We are good.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, this morning. Thank you for Luke chapter 2. Thank you for the Jerusalem road. Father, we have realized in our hearts that we had run ahead of you with our anxiety, with our fears, with all what we have lived before you. We have not included you in our programs. Instead, we have wanted you to lead us, but yet we were leading you. Father, sometimes we climbed up the tree like Zacchaeus to look down upon you. In the way we behave in our marriages, in our relationships, Father, today we repent in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to live that kingdom lifestyle. God, we want to look into our hearts this morning that will never be the same again. I pray for my brothers and sisters who have humbled themselves to come down from that tree to meet with you on this level ground. Father, there are some there on the benches, on the chairs. They are struggling whether to come forward or not. Spirit of God, I may have been preaching and now I'm quiet, but I pray the Spirit of God will never be quiet. Go out with them. Continue to whisper that word until there is deep conviction of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray that even their business will change because they've included you in their business. Their marriages will change. Their love for each other will change because they've included you in their love. Father, I pray that even from today, the way they've been expressing love for each other will be deeper than before because God has stepped in. He has become part of that marriage, part of that relationship. Oh God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here who have come forward, minister to their lives, oh God. Bring that revival of going back to Jerusalem and say, God, we have sinned against you. And Lord, begin a new life. Begin a new touch. Thou will see Jesus seated, listening, and asking questions. Father, that even their lifestyles will be the same. To sit at the feet of Jesus. To listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. And maybe ask you questions. Father, I pray that you enlarge their territory in their lives. May the Spirit of God bless them with a double measure of your blessing. That when they leave this place of God, they will never be the same. They will have a new testimony of what God has done this morning. Father, we are tired of listening, doing nothing, not talking what God has done. We have been silent. Father, bring a new season in our lives. A new season, Lord God, that what God does in this church will be able to express it with our mouths, that God has met with me afresh. So Father, bless us. Bless this church. Father, I pray all the elders, deacons, the members, each member of God, every household, that will be on fire for God because we have gone back to Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen.